So I've been waiting for my invite and this opportunity for bloody ages, and I had to wait up until episode 11 to finally get it. I know I was appalled as well. I guess that, however, is indicative of how an ex-rock star is treated these days, like a fucking ghost. That said, the greater WordPress ecosystem has taken notice of a new ghost on the block. Unlike the D-list ghost that I have become, this ghost is completely A-list. Heck, perhaps I'll just launch a Kickstarter campaign to kickstart my reputation and the old Rockstar moniker again. I'm Adi Pinar, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the depths of internet magic and the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast. Bringing you the latest in WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop. Talking shop with community leaders and innovators.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
Yes!
Now, we bring you your favorite Santan alumni. The craziest prior military geeks you'll ever meet. Your favorite WordPress personalities. Dre Armada and Brad Williams. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Holy cow, here it is. Same bad channel, same bad time, same bad broadcast. But this week we started a little different, and it's a new name, folks. It's the Dradycast. Episode 011 with Adi Pinar. Of course, I'm here with my favorite other brother from the East Coast, Brad Williams. Folks, how we doing today?
What's up, man? Adi, what's up?
Yeah, well, you know, we're all comfortable in silence sometimes. It does happen. So.
There you guys are back. I just fucking lost you there, and I blame Google. Totally.
And you know what? So do we. They knew that it was going to be awesomeness here on episode 11 of the Dradycast with an ex-rock star from South Africa. Little do you know, they shit the damn broadcast.
Exactly. This is exactly the treatment I've been getting as an ex-rockstar. I mean, even Google is fucking
why,
me over.
So why are you no longer a rockstar, man? This is what happens when you're an ex. So why become an ex-rockstar?
I think it was around about the birthday, my 25th birthday. I just decided, you know what, I need to grow up. And I need to shed those dreams and ideals of being a rockstar. And I started to use my real name for once.
It's funny because, well, we were talking a little pre-show, and honestly, I mean, you started Woo, and we'll get into it here in a minute, back around 2008. Honestly, for the first couple of years I knew of who you were, and we didn't know each other, and I don't think we had spoken online, I thought your last name was Rockstar. I thought that was literally your last name. I didn't know if you changed it or if that's what it was, but I was like, man, this guy has to be cool as hell. His last name's Rockstar. Like, how can you go wrong? Well,
exactly, and that's why I told you guys, pre-show, that I make all the brands. It's very simple.
And now we have Drady. I mean, come on. It's like it was meant to be.
Oh, man.
Exactly. I mean, you guys did get my technical rider, before the show in terms of all my requirements, hence the Dradycast. I mean, that was one of the topmost requirements. You have to rebrand according to my brand. Brand consistency, guys.
Branding brands by 80, the ex rock star. I can dig it. On that note, I'll take a sip to that. We can toast after I learn what y'all sipping on. What do you got over there in a nice glass and flowing down the throat there, brother?
I've got a nice little scotch, 12-year-old.
Ah, salut. Single?
No, obviously.
Wait, we talk about the scotch or we talk about 80? I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Hey, we'll get into that. I haven't taken any pictures of 80 on the big screen yet, so we've got plenty of episode left. What are you sipping on over there, Brett?
I am going with the old classic, man. I got the cinnamon whiskey and Coke. I couldn't even think of the name of it.
Oh, man, Death and
Fireball, baby. I got Fireball. I'm like, why is that slipping my mind? Fireball and Coke. That's what normal people say.
It's, as we would call it, cinnamon death in a cup. That does not sound great to me. Although I'm sipping on a little bit of Maker's Mark today, so I got a bottle of 46, and we're going to have a little fun today.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Yeah. Delicious.
We have a ninja on our show, so expect plenty of ninja hijinks.
I like ninjas.
Let's kick off the show right, and I'll go right into our sponsor, who this week our sponsor is Gravity Forms, everybody's favorite premium forum plugin, literally hands down the best forum plugin in the world. If you haven't heard of it, if you're not using it, do it. You need to check it out. Version 1.7 was just released. Huge update. A lot of features. One of the bigger updates I've ever seen. Time and time again, it's proven its value to me. I use it on every site we do. So check it out. GravityForms.com.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still stuck on single. man, we all love Gravity Forms. I can dig it. I use it pretty much on every site. So if you're not using it, you haven't checked it out, go check it out.
I mean, so we love Gravity Forms so much, we've actually decided to do forms ourselves. And literally just fork it. I mean, that's our modus operandi these days. Just fork it. And
this is how rumors get started, my friend.
Hey, man, this isn't chicken. You can't just fork it, all right? This isn't how it rolls.
I thought that it's all GPL, though. I mean, it's GPL chicken, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's not Tyson if it's not GPL.
I feel like Carl's ears just, like, perk, like, wait a minute.
Oh, man.
Something bad just happened.
Dude, he just pulled his sponsorship. That is so awesome.
We now owe him money.
Yeah.
Well, that was my plan here. I mean, get him to pull his sponsorship so that it's, you know, spot open so that we can sponsor the next one.
Well, we'll get you. Don't worry. We'll find a spot for you guys.
Oh, man. 80, this is awesome. So we got to meet. And look, if it wasn't an episode where we had a host on where Brad and I didn't meet him over at Santan's, dude, our intro would be completely full of shit. So, again, we've been talking and yapping for quite a long time, but our physical meeting was actually at Santan's last year at Pressnomics.
It's a holy place. I mean, Santan brings people together and then sends them apart.
Yeah.
I feel like if you kind of combined all of our bar tabs for the 3, 4, 5 day period we were there, I feel like that they probably made enough money in that short span to survive the rest of the year, and then they'll be looking for us to come back at the end of this year. Like, man, I hope those guys show up.
last I heard was that Santan's there in Chandler was expanding. It was actually doubling in size from what I understand. That is completely attributed to the amount of money that we've spent in that place over the last 4 years. No doubt about it. So Woo Themes, man, highly popular and for good reason. It's amazing what you guys are doing over there and certainly have expanded out beyond just themes these days. But let's take this back a little bit, AD, because you're not Mr. Geek. I'm in the code. I'm in terminal beating this thing up. You came from a different direction. You put something brilliant together, whether it just stemmed from a concept that you had or folks that you brought in and what have you. You've turned it into an amazing business and a huge part of the WordPress ecosystem. You've helped develop and really raise the bar for WordPress in general. So salute to that. And I'd love to hear kind of where this stemmed from, bud, because it's nothing short of brilliant.
Well, I mean, since you're waxing lyrical about, you know, Woo and about myself, I mean, I think I should go back to pretending like Google is, you know, fucking up the connection again. I should just sit here in silence. I mean, I just keep going, Bray. I mean, I love all the nice words. Seriously, though, dude, I mean, the one thing that I, you know, when you mentioned kind of, you know, where this came from, the one thing that popped into my mind was when I did the, you know, very first theme that eventually became Woo Themes, you know, original premium news theme, I had a theme options panel in there. And that was actually the first theme ever that had a theme options panel. And the reality of it is, I mean, that kind of shows or is indicative of my mindset, you know, today still, was that I didn't have the technical chops to actually develop that thing myself. So I actually paid for someone, you know, just to develop that. And, you know, so I had this idea to basically throw everything in the kitchen sink into a theme, you know, and that helped. I mean, initially that's kind of, you know, what got us noticed. That's how I met my co-founders. And that's how Woo Themes got created.
Yeah, and it's continued to grow since then. So, I mean, now, I mean, how many, if I may ask, how many employees are you up to? Because I know we'll get into this as we talk into some of the pressing topics, you know, worldwide type companies that are geographically dispersed. But how many employees are you up to now? Because now it's a big business.
We're up to 27.
Jeez, that's crazy for something that stemmed from, hey, I'm a guy, I'm throwing this theme out there. Wah! I'm throwing this theme out there, and I want to see where I build this, you know, what I could build this into. But it's it certainly shows that there was a need, and you were an early kind of arrival into that space into the theme space. How many themes are you guys up to now? How many themes are being sold in on the Woo Themes site now?
Oh, wow. I mean, I want to say we're down to, I think, about 80. So at the height of it, about 2 years ago, I think before we started retiring themes, we were up to about 120, 125, I think. And then we started cutting it. So, all of our older stuff has been retired. And we basically do that based on revenue and popularity.
Sure. And early on, the actual model in terms of the technical model behind the theme was a little different, if I'm not mistaken. And then it kind of developed into a framework, and you guys have built and expanded beyond that. Is that pretty accurate?
So initially, kind of the idea for the Woo framework was just to standardize enough of the code so that we can actually maintain things in the longer term, and that's something we still struggle with. I mean, with the kind of variety of the products we do have, it's difficult to maintain so many, stupid. I mean, you're talking Skype. I only have one screen. You guys have three screens, and you make me concentrate on that, and I lose kind of their trend of thought here.
Way to go, Brad.
What? Sorry, man. I'm just trying to produce a show over here. So,
So the Woo framework was kind of a standardization thing, and I think from there, obviously we since got into plugins, and I think that kind of we can get into that if you guys want. But the kind of thought behind plugins was totally different. It wasn't just about standardization. It was about loads of different things.
So, and we can probably get into some of that stuff a little bit more as we move into the press and topics. But in terms of this, I mean, so now you've nurtured a certain product in the theme world that's continued to grow. There's been iterations, obviously, as we just chatted about, and you've started to maybe branch out vertically a bit, where you're now talking about plugins, you're talking about other types of products. You're a businessman at heart. I mean, now you're starting to scale this thing out. Let's talk about that. So this is a product. You saw a need. You hired in some folks to help you with that idea. You validated. You moved on. But where did that concept come from? You had I'm thinking other businesses and involvement in other business areas prior to that, right?
Yeah. So the interesting thing was so after I did the first theme and I connected with Meg and Mark, and we were basically loosely collaborating together. And what I actually decided at the time was that I wanted to put up a design and development consulting agency. And that's where I hired my first employees. And so Mag, Mark, and I, we were working on Woo themes, or what became Woo themes, in the couple of months thereafter for almost a year before I decided that kind of consulting work wasn't what I wanted to do. And at that stage, we actually moved the two employees over from the consulting business, and they became Woo themes' first employees. And that's the interesting thing. I mean, I think as an entrepreneur, many people kind of the story would be so much better if I was able to say, yes, I planned for all of this, and I plan to grow a multi-million-dollar company and all of this, but we didn't. I mean, it was something that I initially planned. Yes, I saw a gap, and yes, I kind of executed on an idea that I had to fill that gap, but I never really planned for it to be as big a business as it is today.
Certainly.
And stuck. I want to talk WooCommerce, man, because I feel like that's...
Well, let's step into that when we get into the press and topics.
WooCommerce!
So we talked about some of the conferences that you're going to. You're going to different conferences here now that are more business-rich versus maybe technology-driven. Is that part of that? That means you're really on the business side of things. And how has bridging that gap with your founders and other, the technical side of that been? I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, I think, maybe from technical at all, but a non-technical founder, if you will.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for me, I best sum up my kind of technical skill as being able to have a kind of technical bullshit radar. So if anyone on my team, regardless of how much I trust their opinion, tells me, AD, this is going to take, 10 days to develop, and I just know that this should only take an hour. That's the kind of, bullshit radar I have. And I think that's important. I think without that, if I had to go into those conversations completely blind, then those conversations would be so much more difficult. But inherently, so even though I don't have the time and thus the passion really to create that time, to learn code, for example, I'm still technical enough to know what's going on. And I think once I have that or had that, The next part is just trusting the people you hire to guide you, and not, you know, kind of take you for a ride.
I love it, man. And we'll get into some of those things as we talk about remote teams and how managing some of those things, expectations on their end and yours. I mean, is there policies and things that you can implement to make that a successful thing? Because it isn't easy, especially when you're a global team like that.
You know, something that stands out to me as far as Woo Teams and other people we've talked to, it's like 2008 was the magical year as far as, you know, companies making money around WordPress, I feel like. AD, in your mind, what was it about 2008? Because, I mean, if you look at the list of hosts we've had on the show, and it's really a who's who of community leaders, and almost everybody we've talked to that has been doing this for a while, they started in 2008. So what was it about that year and that, you know, what was it that everyone said, you know what, this is the time, let's do it?
I don't know. I think it's, you know, I kind of like, you know, to refer those kind of things to Malcolm Gladwell's kind of tipping point, you know, concept, which is, you know, just a whole bunch of random things just happens, and then at some point that tipping point just happens. And I mean, I know from, you know, theming side, at least 2007, you know, when Brian Gardner did Revolution, and I did a couple of themes that kind of predated the premium news theme that I eventually did, it just gathered momentum, and I think, you know, it became a bit of a gold rush in those early days. You know, people saw that there was traction there, and they, you know, took a chance. And 2008 coincidentally just happened to be the year that, you know, more people started taking that chance or seeing that opportunity, whatever way you want to see it.
It's really funny because it seems like everyone we talk to and everyone we know, at least, you know, I guess if it didn't work out, maybe that's why they're not around. But everyone that started around 2008 has done really, really well and been very successful. With whatever it is, whether it's a theme or product shop or a service-based shop like mine, they've all done really well. And I feel like that, like you said, was kind of the perfect storm of now's the time. A couple people have kind of proven the concept that you can make money around this platform.
Exactly.
I
think it's a weird thing because I don't necessarily believe as an entrepreneur that it's important to always be first to market, but I mean, as you say, the people that started 2008, or let's say that started earlier, you know, seem to be the bigger companies now. And I think initially, that just kind of that momentum helped to build a kind of bigger reputation. You know, that you could leverage and kind of just grow. You know, to use and grow a business.
You could almost say those people were the rock stars. WordPress premium companies. But, I got to know, though, the name, man, Woo. Where did Woo Themes come from, or just Woo in general? Woo's kind of your brand. Woo's your name. You have it around a lot of products now. What is it? Where did it come from?
So this is actually quite funny. We didn't know what to call the company. And in 2007, the word of the internet was Woot. And when Magmark and I sat down to discuss company names, so at the time, so just for people that don't know, is when we created Woo Themes, we officially created Woo Themes in July 2008, but we'd been selling themes. I released the first theme in November 2007, and I met Magmark, you know, just after that, and we'd been selling themes for a couple of months when we decided to create something formal and when the name Woo Themes came up. And what happened was we sat down, we had the conversation, and Magnus said, well, you know what, word of the year last year was Woot, and we're going to make themes, so let's combine the two. And that's just kind of how it happened.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, yeah, I guess it's Woot Themes, but the T carries into the theme, right? Yep. So, I guess I never noticed that.
Why didn't I think of that? Damn it. That sucks, man.
You could have been a fucking rock star, Dre. I mean, you could have changed, you know, instead of being Woo Dre, you could have been Dre Rockstar. I mean, Dre Rockstar. I mean,
I'll stick with Woo Dre. I'm digging it. Oh, man. Well, hey, let's move into the pressing topics for the day, which are brought to you by Maintain. I know you've heard of these folks. We happen to have the founder of it, Shane Sanderson, on the show here last week. Maintain is a professional WordPress support maintenance service on any host. Maintain twoendsattheend.com. If you're interested in using their service, go ahead and sign up today using Dragcast as your coupon code, and you'll get 30% off for the first 3 months. So make sure to go check out Maintain. Really cool stuff over there by Shane Sanderson. They'll rock it out. Make sure that your website doesn't explode and keep you up to date, minimize any of the security problems that people run into. Real news. Brad, let's kill it, man. We're beating up 80 on some of this woo theme.
Woo! You do that so much better than I can. I feel like I'm slacking for not having a sound effect around me. I have a ninja.
But, I like the ninja. Ninja's working. Well, WooCommerce. Let's talk about that a bit.
Let's talk about WooCommerce. So WooCommerce. I thought it was 2 years, but I guess it's coming up on that. We're about a year and a half since you guys officially launched WooCommerce. And it was a big announcement at the time, and it's still an amazing product. I use it a lot. I love it. I'm curious, like, how far prior to when you announced it, I'm sure it was much earlier than that, did the idea come up? What was the idea? You know, how did it come up? Because that was, in my mind, at least from the outside looking in, it seemed like a big shift from what you had primarily been focusing on, which were themes, and I think a few plugins here and there. But, you know, what were the conversations that happened, and where did that come from?
So before we did WooCommerce, we'd been trying to get into e-commerce just generally, and I'll explain that kind of just now, for I think it was almost a year and a half, which meant the conversation went something like this. So we need to do new themes, we need to do e-commerce themes. So instead of using something that was out there which we weren't happy with, we would just kind of develop our own e-commerce plugin. And we then started the process of, you know, trying to find devs to do this, because we obviously didn't have the team or the technical chops to do it. And we actually, at one stage, we almost had Nason involved. That was after a previous, you know, fatal space cake trip in Amsterdam where we first met Nason. Nason didn't have
great
space
story
cakes,
if you ever get the chance to ask AD about the space cake trip.
please do. I wouldn't go into that now because I'd walk in circles again. But, so
walked in circles.
we almost got Nason involved at one stage, and so that process just kind of went, you know, on and on for almost a year. We didn't really make, you know, progress. But during that time, our focus was on doing e-commerce themes, not doing e-commerce plugin. And when we eventually this is 2011. Early 2011, I actually started working with Jay and Mike, who were working on Jigger Shop at the time, and we decided that as a side project to Woo, we would do a Mighty Menus plugin and just build a plugin company. Because I had this notion that, you know, at some stage, themes were either going to become boring, you know, for me as an entrepreneur, or the market is just going to, kind of the growth is just going to slow down. And I started working with Jay and Mike, and they kept introducing, you know, Jigger Shop, and we didn't really take it seriously at the time because it was a really new product. And then the conversation just kind of happened. I mean, it wasn't something we, you know, either us or Jay and Mike really pursued. I don't think it was an agenda, but the conversation just happened where we decided that they should join, you know, WooThemes and create WooCommerce as a plugin. And, you know, to that extent, the thing that should be most surprising to everyone is the extension model that we have now, the extension model that we kind of, I wouldn't say pioneered, because obviously Jigger Shop had it before us, but, you know, we kind of just, we changed things up and we really made it a prominent model within the WordPress ecosystem. That's also not something where we planned for initially. Our plan was to do e-commerce themes.
So let's touch on that a little bit, because like you said, it's WooCommerce and it's public knowledge. There's a lot of conversations around it when it happened. You forked Jigger Shop, which is completely within the rights of the GPL, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there was a little bit of, I don't know if I want to say controversy, but there's a lot of conversations back and forth, like, yeah, it's legal, but is it ethical? Like, is that what you should do? And I'm wondering, I'm sure you guys talked it out behind the scenes before making that decision to do that. Are you happy with making that decision? Do you look back and regret the way it went down, or are you pretty happy with how everything turned out?
We're pretty happy. The one thing that I can say is that, you know, we specifically left out kind of, you know, specific bits of information out of the public conversation, at least, because we were protecting the people that were involved in all the different interactions around, you know, the whole forking and around the kind of WooCommerce or the JewishHub guys moving over to WooThemes. So we decided not to go into that conversation because ultimately, you know, you were either going to, you know, believe that, you know, what we did was unethical, or you were going to kind of, you know, side with us and say, well, it's, you know, open source. And, you know, I think, you know, for us, it, I wouldn't say it's unfortunate, but it was part of the kind of the business model that all of us entered into when we kind of, you know, started building stuff on WordPress. I mean, I'd personally seen our stuff been, you know, been pirated, not even forked. So many times people, you know, when we eventually went GPL, so we weren't GPL initially, you know, people continue to ask us, you know, so what effect has this had? And we still tell people zero, because nobody really contributes back, for example, you know, to our open source project, to our open source, you know, kind of products. And that kind of, I think that just kind of paved that road for us to kind of say, you know what, this isn't ideal to fork someone else's code. We tried our best not to go down that route. But that was the last kind of, not last resort, and kind of, I'm not trying to get sympathy here, obviously. I'm just saying that, you know, it was complicated at best. Having regrets? No, I don't think we have any regrets around it.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Dre.
Well, ethically, what's the contrast or the similarities to WordPress forking from B2 Cafe log, you know, going on 10 years ago? I mean, exactly.
I think it's... It's the exact same thing. I mean, you can't get pissed about doing something like that, because, like you said, this is the business we're in. So if you accept the GPL, then, you know, this happens, and you can't get pissed about it. If you did not want this to happen, then you would not be going down the route of using things like the GPL and really just open source in general, right?
Well, I just forked WooThemes into DreThemes, and that's what's up.
Well, I got Brad Thomas coming out next week, so.
Well, I mean, and you guys should totally do that. I mean, if you want any tips on growing the business, you know, I'll help you guys out.
He's going to invest on us forking his products. In fact, our first theme will be named X Rockstar. That's how we're going to roll.
Exactly.
So I'd like to hear about how WooCommerce is doing overall. So I know a few years ago you gave an interview, I can't remember who with, but you mentioned that, you know, WooThemes at the time, this was pre-commerce. You're a multi-million-dollar company, and a lot of people were impressed by that. Now, I don't think a lot of people, including myself, realized there were companies solely based on WordPress that were making that kind of cash. Looking at it now, I feel like, again, outside looking in, I don't know the inside, you know, I don't know any of your numbers or anything like that, but I feel like WooCommerce is insanely successful. Like, I almost, you know, looking at it, I feel like it could be potentially making you even more money than your themes you're actually making. So I'm curious, like, is it doing better than expected? Is it doing what you expected, less than expected? I mean, is it a really a major part of WooThemes as a whole now?
Yeah, I mean, so it is a significant part of WooThemes. It is, choosing my words wisely here, it is bigger than our themes. And again, it's been unexpected. I mean, I don't think this, when we set out and did WooCommerce, we didn't expect it to grow as quickly as it did. You know, and talking about forking, just on that note, kind of the one thing that I am very proud of is the way we've accelerated and grown the code, and we've essentially gotten it into, as a result of the forking, we've gotten into more hands. So I'll just put that out there. But yeah, I mean, as I said, WooCommerce, the growth has been insane. It's changed the face of our business. I mean, just thinking quick numbers here. More than half of our recent hires have been focused on the, you know, WooCommerce side of our business, for example. That's how much we've had to scale in the last year, and just keeping up with that growth. So it's changed WooThemes. You know, WooThemes is most definitely not just the themes company anymore. The only kind of, you know, the name is old, essentially.
I'll be one to put this out there. I don't need to choose my words as wisely in this space, but I will say that Jiggle in the state it was before or pre WooCommerce would never have been able to sustain that type of growth. It would have never been able to scale at the pace and at the level that WooCommerce has. So in its own right, I think that it was something positive for the whatever code base is left for that project to be forked the way that it did and to what it's doing now, even in a commercial nature. It's given a new breath of life, and kudos to you for being able to profit on that.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, what I really like about WooCommerce, it would have been very easy to say, here's our here's our commons platform, and we're going to push out add-ons that you have to pay for, and that's it. But you know, you're doing that, but you also open it up to developers and designers, who mainly developers that you've kind of vetted, to build add-ons, and then you sell them through your WooCommerce extension store, which obviously you have a huge reach, and it's your customers that are looking for this type of stuff. So I think that really kind of set you apart. And full disclosure, we have at WebDev Studios, we have a couple extensions we sell through you guys, and it's been fun. I mean, we've built a couple just to kind of test the waters, and they're actually doing really well. And I think the whole setup you've really built this kind of community around WooCommerce that I think a lot of other developers are looking at and saying, hey, I should model my products after this. I mean, I feel like Pippin with Easy Digital Downloads, very similar model to WooCommerce, where he kind of, you know, has the premium product, which is free, and then he has third-party developers building add-ons, including himself, for the product. I think a lot of people look at you because it's really a really big success story. So how's that been as far as, like, with the community and then having outside developers building things for your platform, and how's that kind of worked out for you?
So, initial thinking in there was that because we didn't know how well this was going to do, we weren't in a position to say, well, let's hire 5 full-time devs to just build extensions ourselves. So we instead kind of opened that up, and we said, well, let's get the community involved, and let's get them to build extensions. So something that's interesting there, one of the things that we targeted from day one was to have as many payment gateways supported as possible. So my opinion was and still is that payment gateways, if you're outside the U.S., still sucks for everyone else. And the easiest way to get WooCommerce in as many hands as possible is to support as many payment gateways. So for us, I think we support over 80 today or 90. For us to do that, again, we either had to take on the risk and hire 5, whatever amount of full-time devs, or, kind of work with external devs and, do revenue sharing on that. So that was the initial thinking. And that was great initially. The one thing I can add to that, ultimately, today, though, knowing how well this has gone, I mean, the profit margin, or the operating margin, at least, with that kind of arrangement is actually more expensive than it would have been had we hired people. And I think that's the kind of trick that you always have as an entrepreneur in a new business avenue to figure out, what the risks are and what the potential rewards are. Ultimately, the reason why we've kept that community relatively exclusive and small is because we want to be able to vet every single line of code that we release. And we want to be able to support that, and we want people to buy that stuff as if we were the original developer.
Man, I'll tell you. And you only accept the best, right?
So. Well, the only way it could be better if we were running some kind of security audit through, kind of really awesome third-party service that you really check all that stuff for you.
Well, I'm sure we did pay for that, stamp of approval, Jay. I mean, I think you guys did receive the check. I mean, if you didn't receive the check, I mean, just mail the invoice again, please.
Oh, well, hey, no, absolutely. Just add a new line number and we'll carry on. Listen,
that's not how business works. Sorry, Jay. You need to just resend the old invoice.
Hey, I'm learning, man. I'm trying to be an ex-rock star. That's all. Oh, man, WooCommerce. I love it, and I think it's going to continue to grow. I think it was an important shift in the way that we look at commerce in general and how it integrates with WordPress, and I'm excited to see the innovations that you guys will continue to bring forward, not just in terms of the software capabilities as a core, but what you're doing to expand the community behind that and really providing different avenues to approach commerce for a lot of different worlds, right? And you're doing it from different worlds. So you're talking about maybe revenue shares with folks that are third party or developers that you're coming in, you're vetting it, you're keeping those as small niche groups, but you've also hired in a considerable amount of folks into your Woo Themes team to manage a lot of the stuff that's come from the WooCommerce or the advent of WooCommerce here over the last 2 years. What are you doing to manage these teams? Because you guys are truly global. You're talking about 27 employees or somewhere around there.
Yep.
And you're completely geographically dispersed. Now, I know as well as Brad, that's not an easy feat. There's a lot of different moving parts that make that happen, from communication to the legalities that drive that.
Especially different countries. I mean,
How are you managing that piece? I mean, how did you grow to where you're at today, geographically dispersed?
So, I think the obvious answer would be something like, well, we used all these cool technological tools, you know, to do this and that. And what's actually happened is we started to use less tools. As an example, you know, we were, you know, loyal and kind of aggressive Basecamp users for years, just to try and get the, you know, team on the same page. We actually killed our Basecamp. You know, we switched to mostly using email, mostly using one-to-one things. And I think, and I mean, I'll share what we do in terms of our remote management, but I think a big thing that I've learned is that you ultimately need to trust in the people you hire. And if you can't trust in the people you hire and you can't ultimately trust in yourself in hiring the right people, doesn't matter, especially when they're working remotely and you don't see them every day, you're basically fucked. You know, very simply, I mean, we've had, unfortunately, in the past to let a couple of people go that just weren't the fit, that weren't the type of people that we could trust and just allow to work in whatever way. Very recently, you know, last couple of months, we had a big internal focus, for example, on individual performance. And that would go something like, I would kind of beat that drum in terms of saying a team is only as strong as weak link, whatever. And it doesn't matter what I can do to measure that and influence that. Ultimately, it comes down to I have to trust that person to hear the right words and do the right work. If that doesn't happen, I don't think there's any kind of mechanism, any process, any tool that you can use to really manage a remote team.
So really, it comes down to communication and people. There's really three big parts to any type of thing in business whether you drive it. You're going to have tools. So the technology is one piece of that. And those are things that you're going to utilize to kind of get through those processes, which is the second tier to that they need to happen. But ultimately, it comes down to the people. And if you're not able to communicate and trust those folks that you're hiring in, none of those other pieces, the process and technology becomes really irrelevant.
Exactly.
Oh, and go back to not using Basecamp, because I want to know what you are using.
We're not using anything. I mean, for the kind of shared docs that we, you know, need to have, you know, there's Google Docs. We don't have many of those. And as I said, the rest of the stuff is email. What we found, though, is due to the size of the team, most of the team, or let me, you know, put it the other way around, the communication that is relevant to the whole team, so one piece of communication that's relevant to the whole team, can go out in email. The discussion that normally happens around those things is minimal. So, I mean, that would be a kind of team-wide announcement, goes out via email, doesn't need a response. So it doesn't need to go into Basecamp. I mean, it was just, it almost added friction, you know, because we created all these different projects and, you know, you put it into different silos and, you know, 6 months down the line when you need to search for something, you don't know where to fucking start, which was just, you know, silly. So it just became counterproductive and counterintuitive. So we basically encourage as many kind of, you know, voice and video calls as possible, you know, these days, one-to-one emails. And then the only real thing in terms of process and structure that we put into place that's really worked is we put middle management in place, or leaders, so not being bureaucratic, but just giving smaller parts of the team the ability to go to one person. So when they're, you know, kind of a bigger discussion needs to happen or escalated, they can go to one person, which isn't me, and that one person can escalate to me, and we can make a decision around that in terms of having a, you know, kind of team-wide debate. But beyond that, the kind of one-to-one or, you know, one-to-five kind of communication is much better suited to the way we work.
You know, I love talking to people that run distributed companies, especially larger ones like yourself, because I feel like nobody does it the same. Everyone I talk to, nobody does it the same. Everyone has a different method that works for them, works for their team. And they've all kind of stumbled into it over the years of trying various things, right? I mean, you know, we use Basecamp and we're pretty strict to it, but I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people use B2. A lot of people use IRC. They use Skype. They use, like you said, email, video chats, voice chat, whatever. So it's really cool kind of hearing about different methods that people use and thinking about whether that would work in my situation or not. The other thing that I think is cool is you're distributed, but you had this big Woo trip last year. And I would urge anybody listening, I actually just stumbled across this. I guess I didn't know you had this, but if you go to woothemes.com/about, they have this really cool Woo Trip video that you put together. And this looks, I mean, this is really well done. Like, it makes me want to go on the next Woo Trip with you guys. It's awesome. Like, it's from the start and everybody traveling. It's almost like you sent everybody a video camera and said, document the whole thing. because it's really well done. So maybe you can speak a bit on what, you know, what are the benefits of kind of getting, if you're a distributed team, getting everyone together? Because this food trip, it had your, it was your entire team, right? From all the, seven different countries got together in South Africa. Yeah. So talk about that a little bit and what benefits came from that.
So, I mean, speaking of trust in terms of, you know, managing kind of, you know, remote team, the only way to build trust is to build a relationship firstly. And that doesn't just apply to kind of me being the boss and there's employees. I mean, that's not the only kind of relationship or trust there needs to be. I mean, that also applies to guys working together. I mean, if you take, for example, you know, a dev that's been in the team for 3 years and you get a new guy that's been there for 3 months and the new guy suddenly questions, you know, the older dev or the more senior dev then in terms of kind of why he's writing the code that way, why is that feature or function included in that way.
You get together so they can fight it out? I mean, is that where we're going?
That could happen as well.
Let's go.
You know, that could happen as well. But what happens is, you know, any kind of, even this, I mean, even, you know, video calling over Skype, it doesn't really kind of mimic human interaction, which is you need to have the whole experience, to have body language, all those things, to really understand. And those kind of conversations are just easier in person, and those conversations are easier afterwards, you know, via Skype or whatever, when you've met someone in person. So when you kind of learn that, you know, how kind of to read the words behind the words. So something interesting, for example, is Mark and I had a big issue with Mag back in the day. And how, so Mag is Scandinavian, and he's a very direct person. So he would kind of, what
I love
seems
Magnus.
To be... Yeah, we all love Magnus.
He's awesome.
And he would hurt me if I didn't love him. So
yes.
I kind of have to.
Yes. You guys are such pussies, though. I can't believe it.
I'll tell you what, work camp, here I'm putting you in the fucking arm bar.
Come and get it, Jay. Come and get it.
Go back at it.
So the problem we had was, so in Skype chats, for example, just IM, you know, Mag would, for example, criticize something in a very direct way, or give his opinion in a very direct way, but he would always put a smiley face behind it. And what we needed to learn from, you know, from that, you know, and we only learned that after meeting him in person, was that smiley face basically meant that he was serious about his opinion, but he didn't want to be opinionated. He didn't want to be a dick, and he wasn't being a dick about it. And that's the kind of stuff that's why we do the Woo Trip, is to allow everyone on the team to basically understand that about every individual on the team, because essentially that's where the magic happens, in my opinion. You can kind of get two people working 100%, or they can be working together. It's kind of, you know, the 2+2=5 kind of synergy thing. And as I said, relationships are integral to that.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we did our first kind of all hands on deck WDS get together last year at WordCamp Philly, which I organized, but we said perfect time to kind of fly in everybody. One spot, let's hang out, and then everyone stayed a few extra days. We didn't do a whole week-long thing, but everyone stayed about 2 or 3 extra days. And, I mean, there was an immediate impact on, you know, when everyone went home and we started working again. I mean, I noticed it. Like, everybody was, like, I mean, it was like old friends getting back together and working again. Like, there was just this immediate noticeable impact on how people work together, how people talk together. We're still joking about things that happened back then. I mean, to this day, I'm just like, that was... regardless of the cost that it took to get everybody there, completely worth it, especially in a distributed environment where you only talk to or see some of these people online, you know, 365, 4 days out of the year. Totally worth it. And Dre, I mean, you guys just had a get-together, was it end of last year or early this year of your whole company too, where you did something similar?
We did a full company summit last summer, and for the same reasons, right? You know, it doesn't translate in communication through a digital form or vehicle, it especially when you're talking about different cultures, different work ethics. You know, my co-founder or founder, Daniel, is Brazilian. Most of our support team works out of Brazil. We've got folks in Canada. We got folks in, you know, Czech Republic, Romania, all the way into Malaysia. So when they say something with a smiley face, it may be very different than when I say something with a smiley face. Yep. Case in point, what AD's talking about there. So that face-to-face interaction, you get the mannerisms, you get the facial expressions, the tone in the voice, very, very different And those interactions really help you understand what they may be saying, or helping you translate what some of those communications or the intent behind those communications really are. There's nothing like that human interaction. The end of last year, we did a management summit. We do a couple every year. And then here as recently as 2 weeks ago, we brought in all of our middle management support folks in with Daniel, myself, and Tony to really geek it out and talk through different scenarios and just discuss any of the things that have been, you know, that have been going on. And those things are really healthy for a company that's geographically dispersed. We're never going to get it 100% right working completely digital. You have to get that interaction. So I agree with where AD's going with that.
And speaking of ghosts, which we weren't, but that's my segue. let's talk about ghosts, man. That's like the big news this week, right? Ghosts. So it's basically this blogging platform. We talked about it. This has been a few months back, right, Dre, when we talked about John and Alan first put out kind of the idea of this ghost. And I don't remember exactly how he described it originally. Was it a ghost? It was a vision of a blogging platform, but I don't think it was basically what he thought WordPress should be versus what it is. The initial talk was maybe to fork WordPress. I think the initial conversation was like, you know what, let's fork WordPress. Let's do our own thing, which AD could probably coach him on that a little bit. but he decided against that. And then they were talking, all right, well, let's make a theme, which would be more like an admin dashboard theme, not a front-end theme, like a as you're writing post type of theme. Which there aren't many out there, but there's a few. MP6 is one they're really pushing, which will probably be in 3.7 we talked about. Again, AD could probably instruct them on themes. But now, John actually put up a Kickstarter, and Ghost is actually going to be a completely independent CMS built on Node.js. So absolutely nothing to do with WordPress. Put out the Kickstarter. His goal was £25,000. In a month, and if I remember right, I think he reached the goal in less than 12 hours.
11 and a half, yep.
11 and a half hours. And now it's up to 78, almost 78,000 pounds. I honestly don't know. If they go over that, do they get the extra money? I'm not sure how that works. But either way, it proved that this is a concept that people are very interested in. And AD, you guys have, Woo has come out and said that you are going to support Ghost in terms of offering themes for it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So John's a really good friend of mine, and friend of Woo, you know, in general. And take a step back. So yes, we are doing, you know, we've committed to doing, you know, a couple of themes, and we've had obviously financial backing of the idea. But beyond that, for me, even as an independent CMS, I think that John is still building this from all of his experience and all of his kind of legacy and journey through WordPress. And I actually think that this is going to have a weird kind of effect and just kind of kickstarting, lack of a better fucking word, but kickstarting innovation within the WordPress space again. Let's just throw now, I want to throw this back to you guys. What has been the last real kind of big innovation within the WordPress ecosystem? In my opinion, there hasn't been any in the last year or two.
As far as WordPress core itself?
Just WordPress generally. I mean, from core to product being built on it, you know, to services being targeted at WordPress. Has there been kind of groundbreaking stuff?
Yeah, I don't know if groundbreaking. I mean, it's you know, there's been a few milestones throughout the years that we could probably pinpoint. You know, I think you mentioned Revolution. I think, in my opinion, that's kind of a milestone in the history of WordPress where the tide shifted. And I think that kind of helped launch a lot of the companies that we're doing now because we saw there's a market there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a pretty good question. Like, as far as WordPress itself, yeah, there's been some big kind of steps made, like, you know, 3.0 with the custom post types and things like that. 2.7, the big admin redesign, you know, things like that. But I don't know if I would say they were groundbreaking, where it would just blows your mind of what just happened. You know, what do you think, Dre? Yeah.
No, I think it'd be a collective thing over the last 3 or 4 years. The awesomeness that has become WordPress and the WordPress ecosystem and the products and things behind it. But in terms of groundbreaking, maybe within our small community, but I don't know in terms of the masses, the world. It's just been a big kind of steady marathon versus a sprint. I look at Ghost, though, as something very
secondary, very behind, or behind is probably not a good word, but very much aside from WordPress specifically. It will become its own entity, so I don't know that it's fair to compare that as a product or something that's groundbreaking in terms of WordPress specific.
Yeah,
that's what. But is it, oh, go ahead, sorry, Daniel, Brad. You finish your point.
My point there is just that, you know, Ghost is the kind of in response to what has happened in the WordPress kind of ecosystem, and the point that I didn't want to make is I'm not dissing the innovation that has been within WordPress.
Oh, certainly.
You know, WordPress obviously grown a shitload, you know, in the last couple of years. My point was just that I think a lot of the thinking that is going into WordPress is exactly that kind of incremental thinking, you know, where, and this is not to kind of blow my own horn, but you know, for example, when Brian did Revolution, that was revolutionary. You know, when I did the first theme options panel, that was, you know, kind of changing a mindset. And everything else been more incremental of late. And I think, again, considering that John comes from, you know, a WordPress background, I hope what happens when people see the success of Ghost is that they say, you know what, things could be different within the WordPress ecosystem as well. And themes could be different. And the way we see plugins and develop plugins can be different. That's what I'm hoping Ghost kind of, you know, becomes or inspires in the WordPress ecosystem. And that's the core of why we got involved with it.
Yeah, and that's kind of in line with Brian Krogsgaard in our chat room. He said he really hopes this kind of puts a fire under WordPress's ass, you know, to from an ease of use standpoint. I think that's kind of what Ghost was harping on, is that it's getting to the point where it's not that intuitive or that easy. And I, you know, we take it for granted. We look at the dashboard of WordPress every single day. But I run a WordPress meetup, Dre. I know you run one. You know, it's when you're working with like actual people that have never used WordPress, it's not as intuitive as you think, because they get on the dashboard and they're like, okay, what do I do now?
Too many options.
You think it's easy, like post, add new. Well, they don't know what the hell a post is. That doesn't make any sense to them, you know? So it's not as intuitive as a lot of us like to believe it is, or believe it still is, right? And I think that's one of the things Ghost is trying to fix.
The proof in the pudding there being, you know, WordPress.com being the biggest kind of platform for, you know, WordPress related publishing or publishing on WordPress. I mean, that UI is completely different to the one that, you know, us mere mortals, you know, use in the self-hosted world.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is, and that's a valid
argument. I guess what's interesting about the whole project in general to me is I feel like this is kind of like what WordPress did back when B2 died out. Like, all right, we're gonna take this and make it awesome, make it better, and that's cool. And you come out and you version one, it's cool and everyone's excited and they're all getting on board, and then everybody wants some, you know, they want this feature, it should do this, it should do that, and then you add 10 years on the project, which is WordPress will be 10 years next month. You know, at a certain point, if you don't say no, this is what it is and that's it, then guess what, you're going to end up like a WordPress or like a Drupal or whatever. Like, it's just going to happen unless the project goes stale and you just say, we're not doing anymore, this is it, this is what it is. Like, I don't really know how they're going to avoid that. Like, yeah, when it first comes out, it's probably going to be hot. People will like it. They'll use it. I mean, I know other projects like this. There's the Habari project, which did the same thing a few years back. It's still out there. It's still active. But that was their whole goal. And over time, guess what? People want more stuff, or they're going to switch off of it. And they're going to have to keep providing that. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I'm all for it. I mean, open source is open source, in my opinion. You know, if it's out there for the greater good of the open source community, then hats off trying something this ambitious. And I hope they succeed. You know, I'm a firm believer that WordPress should not run 100% of the websites in the world. I don't think that's good. I think that, yeah, I like the idea it runs a lot of them, but nothing should ever run 100% of the websites. When you get a monopoly like that, it's not good for anybody. So competition is good.
That's a good point.
And it's cool to see you guys expanding. I think you mentioned earlier on that you were, not specifically, but you mentioned about working with some, doing some themes around e-commerce. If I remember right back in the day, you guys were doing stuff around, was it Magento and Drupal?
Yeah, so we had some Magento stuff, some Drupal stuff, some Tumblr stuff, and some Expression Engine stuff.
And is that gone now? I haven't heard anything about it. I don't see it on your website. Is that just kind of gone away? And
yes, I mean, it's we dug a very, very big hole, you know, down here, you know, southernmost tip in Africa, and we just got rid of that stuff. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just very simply, I mean, we have legacy and in WordPress, and we understand WordPress intimately, both from the way customers use it and from a technical standpoint, and we never did on those platforms, and we never We never formed a relationship. We never fell in love with those platforms. We never really believed in them ourselves.
So this is your first dive back into another platform outside of WordPress prior or after that, I should say.
Exactly.
Very cool. We'll have to check back in after it comes out and you've had some stuff on the market and see where you're at with that.
I'd like to see where it goes. I'm excited to at least see this develop. And look, for those of you that haven't seen some of the screenshots on the Kickstarter page, holy cow, is it sick looking.
It's sexy, so that's for sure.
I haven't touched any code or seen anything else, but it sure looks really, really pretty. So, hey, kudos. I'd like to see where it ends up. Hopefully we'll be talking about, version 2, version 3, version 3.6 beta 2 down the road, just like we are WordPress, which just released beta 2 for 3.6 here this week. We're on the eve or close to of 3.6 being released. I'm pretty excited to see that. And along that, we have BuddyPress 1.71, which I believe was just a maintenance release, came out this week as well. So make sure to go if you're running BuddyPress, get that updated. Make sure to get WordPress beta 2 for 3.6 loaded and start playing with the awesomeness there.
And a quick follow up on the 3.6. We talked about last week how there was some back and forth on the post format UI.
Right.
It is still in there. It is staying as far as what Jake Witt is saying. So for better or for worse, put that new post format UI will be in 3.6.
Hey, listen, this far in the development lifecycle, stay, but we need to get some iterations in there to get that cleaned up and fixed. There's certainly some shortfalls there that are going to cause some confusion. I just don't think to the masses. Folks, brought to you by Gravity Forms. This is episode 011 here with 80, the Drady cast. Man, it just cracks me up. Gravity Forms just released version 1.7 a week or two ago, Brad. It came out. Talking about it, I think last week. So maybe at the beginning of last week, 1.7 released. Two major features that came out with Gravity Forms 1.7. Now you can set up as many notification messages as you'd like, and you can now have as any number of confirmations instead of just a single one per form. So that's pretty cool stuff. So meaning you can, based on your user selection, show different messages, redirect users to different pages, or send different query strings, increasing the flexibility of the system, which is. It's really cool. It's a really cool deal. Now, currently, Gravity Form customers can go over there just to the website, download, and you're ready to go. If you got any other questions or looking for more information about it, head over to gravityforms.com. I'm out. I need to pour another cup, but I'm out of ice because I'm not drinking it neat tonight. But while I wait on my ice maker to cruise through, let's talk some bar tricks here. who's got some bar tricks to talk about today? I sure got one. AD, you got any fun tips for us and for the audience this week?
Yeah. So so the one thing that I wish was around when I was still doing WordPress consulting work is a little plugin called WP Migrate DB, and there's a new pro version now, which is absolutely fantastic. Everyone, devs kind of locally, when they're working on client sites or any other sites for that matter, and this plugin just fucking takes care of all the migration stuff. No hassles. It just nails it. And I mean, even Woo. I mean, Brad, the developer behind the plugin, he's a good friend. Another market that we would enter into. We could probably be ninjas, but we wouldn't do it as well as he's done it. Fantastic plugin. Check it out.
Hey, it sounds like an acquisition to me. I'm just saying. I don't know.
it is pretty slick. You're already taking over everything. Pro, right?
Dude, I'm just trying to acquire my own house first before we start making acquisitions, left, right, and center.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, man. No, that sounds like a really cool. I haven't used it, but certainly looks neat.
I mean, it's Brad, so if your name's Brad, it's got to be cool, right? Kind of my philosophy in life.
Yeah.
I'll go into my bar trick. This is a plugin. It's been around. It's been around for a little bit. However, I just used it the other day, and it saved me a lot of time. So the plugin is called P3 Plugin Performance Profiler. Have you guys heard of this? I will drop a link in the chat if you have not. Interesting about this plugin, what it does, it basically, you run it, it basically pops up a light box, a model, whatever, and loads your site on a bunch of different pages. Loads the home page, loads the single page, category page, a bunch of stuff. And you kind of see it happening. And what it's doing is it's testing the plugin load and performance on every page load. And when it's done, it comes back with a report and says, it breaks down, all right, you have 10 active plugins, and it breaks down the percentage of page load that your plugin is using. So if you have a problem, if your site's slow, and you're not sure why, this is a great plugin at least to start, because it will basically say, hey, this plugin is eating up 80% of the load time on the page, and what is it doing? Do you need this plugin? You know, so it might help highlight some problem childs. The interesting note on this is this plugin was actually built and released by GoDaddy. So we probably all know why, because everybody blames GoDaddy for their slow hosting. So, like, you know what? We're going to prove people it's not just our hosting. Like, there's some plugins out there causing problems. But very cool to see a larger company like this give back to the community. Totally open source. It's on WordPress.org. Just search P3 Profiler. Or I'm sure if you just search P3, it'll probably pop up. Yeah, it's first hit for P3. Over 100,000 downloads. Really cool plugin. Great one just to see where, you know, what's choking your website. So check it out.
Man, we talked about chickens. We talked about choking. I'm just gonna leave it there. Listen.
Now we're talking about Dre.
hey, you can't act like you forgot about Dre. So this last week, we ran into the realization over at Secure at blog.secure.net that look, a lot of all the research and stuff that we're doing with some of the posts that we're putting out is pretty intensive, and it's requiring more folks to interact through our posts. Well, we want to give credit where credit is due, and authorship info on the posts publicly with doing that. We didn't really have an easy way to do that, so I went to Twitter and asked a couple of folks. Bill Erickson, who we all know and love, one of the bearded brothers himself, recommended that I go check out Co-Authors Plus, which there's also an extension or a plugin that builds off of it for Genesis specifically, which is pretty cool. And not to throw that out there, but maybe Woo should kind of think about doing something there. In any event, it adds the capability, right, and drag and drop right inside of the post edit screen to add as many authors as you want to a post. It'll pull all of their actual author meta info and drop it right on the post for you, so now you can give credit to multiple authors in one post. It's called Co-Authors Pro. I know that Automattic had some say in making this, and it is now eligible for VIP services as well, so go check that out if you get a chance.
So Dre, just one point there. I mean, if you want Woo to kind of just do these things, I mean, the only thing we're going to really do is we're going to fork it and we're going to charge you a shitload of money for it.
I love it. Hey man, this has got to be worth our marbles here.
I feel like Dre is giving you like 10 new products and services you can offer through the show. Look, so you should be paying us to be on this show.
In fact, that invoice will be in the mail as well with a new line item.
So that's the old invoice or the new invoice, Dre?
Yeah, that's the second one. Are you kidding me? Hey, look, we want to keep stuff separate here.
You paid. I'm pretty sure you cover my invoice at Santan, so we're good for the year.
I think the next one. Exactly.
Oh, wait, see, Brad, so there's a problem here, because Dre wasn't in Santan, so I couldn't cover it.
Night five in a row, Dre's passed out with his liver on his neck. It was great.
why are you making that my problem, though, Dre? I mean, I don't understand. I've got enough of my own problems.
I got to hand it to 80, though, man. I've never seen someone drink like you drink. Like, you could put him down, but then the next day, you're up at, like, 6 a.m. running a 5K.
Running?
I'm literally in my bed wishing I was dead. Like, water! You're out there running. I'm like, how do you do it, man?
Well, Santas, we're not going to be there anytime soon, unfortunately, but there are some other events coming up. The first one at Fort Lewis is coming up here at the beginning of June. I believe beginning of June, right? First weekend, Brad?
Yes, first and second, actually.
WordCamp Orange County, and listen to this, folks. Brad and Dre are going to be there at the same event. And you want to let it on them there, Brad? What did we find out and confirm today? What did we confirm?
We're doing the first ever live Dradcast at WordCamp OC on stage. We're going to be live. We're going to be drinking. We're going to be interviewing. We're going to be having a crazy time. So get ready for it.
Man, this will be good. So stay tuned for more information about our guests and what's going to go on for the show. But at WordCamp Orange County coming up here at the beginning of June. Now, also coming up here soon is WordCamp San Francisco. Brad and I will also be attending there. No word on if we're taking stage yet, but we'll let you know as soon as we find out. Yeah, that's coming up here this summer as well, I think July timeframe. I'm horrible with dates.
End of July, yep.
Now, the one that's really important, because not just two legs of the Dradcast are going to be there, but all three legs of the Dradycast will be in attendance, is at WordCamp Europe. This is the first camp of its kind. 80's going to be there.
Brad's going to be there. Andre will be there as well. This is going to be insane. This is coming
up. Get ready, Europe.
Yeah, October. Yeah, this is going to be nuts. We're Camp Europe.
You can start drinking water like now.
Now, yeah. Camelback everywhere we go. October of 2013, we'll be kicking this off. So that's going to be a heck of a treat. I'm hearing word over 1,000 attendees potentially. So this could be pretty much epic.
I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
So this is my first WordCamp outside of the U.S., which I'm super stoked about. So.
Do you know where outside the U.S. is, though, Brad?
It is over the big gulp of water there. So I know if my plane's over water for multiple hours, I should be outside the U.S. at that point.
Okay, so it sounds fine. You've got the general direction, you know, sorted out there.
I've been to Europe, man. I've been to Amsterdam. I know not to eat the space cakes. I'm down.
some of us don't know that.
Yeah, well, that's a story for another day. So we're gonna have to catch up, hopefully in person. You need to ask AD if you ever see him. First, ask him for a Woo Themes shot glass, and then make sure to ask him about the space cakes. In closing, Brad, you got any other words, brother?
I don't. You can find me on Twitter at Williams Baugh.
Williams Baugh, B-A-B-A. AD, thank you for hosting so much. Where can folks find you?
At AD. And my blog is 80.me. I mean, if you don't do the double I, then you're not cool enough, then you shouldn't find me anyway.
That's what's it. AD double I. Man, I'll tell you what, it's been a great episode. Thanks for hosting the first episode of the Drady Cast with Brad and I, 80. Best of luck to you, WooCommerce, WooThemes, and all of your future ventures. This is Dre. You can find me at Dre Matum. And folks, this is double 11 of the Dragcast signing off. We're out.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus some new guest hosts next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast.